Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Coaching Conversations, and this is your host, Life Coach Sean Chakowski. I'm here with Money Visco, and we have the wonderful August Shields. How are you guys today?
Good.
Great.
Good.
How are
good
you?
To be here.
Good, good. So we are going to be talking about codependency and relationships. Terrific topic. Before we mm-hmm. started airing, I had an intention. I'm like, what are we going to talk about? What can we intend to have everyone out there listening take away? And I hope, guys, that what we can do is to really to identify codependency. And once we identify it, help people understand how to form healthy relations with others and themselves, because I think codependency when you uncover codependency, not only is it, you know, tell how you're relating to other folks, but it really is, you can strongly get a sense of self and where you are in relation to others. So what is everyone's thoughts on the topic?
Yeah. Sounds good.
Okay. Money, any thoughts before we get rolling?
No, I mean, I think it's a great topic because I don't think people realize when they're in a codependent relationship what it really means, and then if you are, how to get out of it.
Right.
So. Yeah,
and I also found, like, working with clients is, you know, a lot of times sometimes the healthiest relations turn into codependency. I want to, you know, talk about that, too. I know some well-intended, you know, relations with life's demands and stressors, sometimes what I've seen, and I hopefully we can kind of dig deep and see what surfaces, is that sometimes some patterns, some tendencies that we hold in ourselves, usually they surface when you relate to others. I know it goes into a lot of, when we mirror things, a lot of things come, you know, what we see from others is really a lot of times what we're energetically creating within. So we'll see where this goes today. I think it's a beautiful topic. I know, I think when we were designing the topic and talking about it, Money, I shared that. I said, I think I'm a recovering codependent. and my whole life, I was always so proud that I was independent. And what I didn't realize, you know, I was a people pleaser. We're going to talk about this some, and people will be like, how can people pleasers be codependent? But you'll see sometimes that some patterns that I personally, you know, with working with people, I think a lot of what we learn is early on in age, not that we have ill-intended or dysfunctional families, although I think there was a study in here says that pretty much half of us come from some type of dysfunction in the family, which really means is we're not all perfect, you know, and
exactly.
I like to put that out there. We're not perfect. We're human beings, and we are here to learn, and that dysfunction is just part of the process of human nature. But where we pick up is personality and tendencies, and from what we, I think, observe and how maybe times we relate to our, you know, dynamics, even with teachers, I think all of it surfaces in what we bring into relations to other people. Okay, guys, what are your thoughts? I kind of did a mouthful there.
Yeah. The thing that I've noticed the most about codependency is most people that are really codependent don't even realize it. It happens so gradually. In most cases, it's almost like unconscious weight gain, and all of a sudden, you know, someone wakes up and they're having trouble moving and go, how did this ever happen? You know, why didn't I see before? But it's so easy for other people. And if you can find someone that you can really trust to talk to, you know, it's usually it's pretty obvious to people on the outside, especially coaches and people, you know, like us that have been studying these things and watching and observing and learning. It's so easy to fall into it and not even know you're there. And I think that's the hardest thing, is just understanding and admitting that, oh, my gosh, this is not good.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, what I think I was trying to codependency. I'm like, what is the right word to, you know, facilitate healthiness? And I came up with interdependence, interdependency, which is almost like partnership, When you come into relation, and I kind of want to give, I think codependency is almost like the core concept, so let's talk a little bit about that. That when you enter a relation, which means you are two people, you are mutually benefiting from that relationship. But I think somewhere in some form, I know even, you know, where I didn't realize is, you know, you let's just go to a romantic, intimate relationship or with a partner. That when you fall in love, it's almost like it encourages the enmeshment of two people.
Yes.
And it's confusing because people think that's love and healthiness, but where after a while, where I want to kind of clarify, because I talk a lot about this because it surfaces that sometimes people, after a while with that unbalanced, you know, sometimes it becomes unbalanced, and that's where the unhealthiness breeds. You know, that's where we start losing our sense of self. A lot of people in my coaching come, you know, after doing this for so long, and even like raising children, you know, believe it or not, I want to do different dynamics. That is a natural tendency that, you know, mom or dad are supposed to give all of themselves to their child, or that's what we think, you know, especially I think in the social norms of what we have now with the helicopter parents, that it's almost like a vacuum. Is people will get to a certain age that they don't see it. Until, like, I have people knock on my door, like, I don't even know who I am anymore. You know, those are kind of some flags, like, okay, well, let's take a look at this. Let's see what, in where I will go to the second phase of this where I want to really talk, because I think there is a strong thing, a strong core word that I want to bring up, it tie into it, is personal responsibility. That, like, I know even when I kind of got entangled, like my relationship looking, like, is it healthy? I got to see what my part is in this, you know, there's sometimes we, like I said, where it gets blurry in codependency is that we get enmeshed. We feel as if we're one. But really a relationship is two people coming together. You know, I think I've always said it's like a dance floor where two people come on the dance floor. It's that space you create together where codependency gets so enmeshed that you're using, that's a bad choice of words, when you're relying on someone to fulfill your needs and your emotions. Guys, what are your thoughts? Moni, you there? What are you, Stephanie?
Yeah, I'm here. No, okay. Yeah, I think it's important that we kind of clarify what codependency means, because as you said, can you hear me?
Yep, I'm good. Yep, we have some background noise.
Okay,
yep.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because as you said, you thought you were really independent, and I thought the same thing, not realizing I thought codependent meant that you need another person to help you all the time. Like you can't function on your own, which when I, you know, one of the articles in the Psychology Today, you know, it was very enlightening to me reading it because it clarified that in the close relationship, it's the codependency comes from one person, you know, is always in distress and needs the other person, and then the other person is always rescuing or enabling them. And so
enabling.
That's where it's like, so you have the enabler and you have the other. You know what I mean? And so I have that enabler, you know, tendency of so both people though, I think are lacking in self-worth in some way. So the other, the one who's needy, is feeling empty inside and looks to the other person to, you know, outside of themselves to fill them up. And so they're constantly, so you're feeling they drain other people. And then the enabler personality is the one that steps in to get their self-worth from feeling important because they're helping somebody else. And so that's where those two people partner together and they're drawn to each other in that way. Like it's not an accident that an enabler will seek somebody who seems to always need help and a helper will always seek someone who's going to help them. And that's where the dysfunctionality comes in.
Yes.
Very strong. Yes. And you hit right on the head because the enabling is huge. You know, and I've seen a lot of people, I guess I do think there's like, you know, a lot of times in, I go back deeper into patterns, like a lot of these patterns we pick up, whether we're children or parents, but we're drawn to that. Like, I think even for myself, I have that, we have to tone the background noise a little bit, but I know I've been the people pleaser my whole life. And I always say it almost has always been encouraged too. Think about it. You know, I'll have to say my religious background too. You know, self-serving to others.
Yes.
I felt like that was what was always what I should do. I had that consciousness, guilty consciousness almost, that if I that was built in me. And you know, I do have to say sometimes I find a lot of empaths and very compassionate people can be drawn into, you know, it is like harmony sometimes, you know, where one needs the one wants to give. They call it an emotional caretaker. But identifying that, understanding, and I do think when we don't identify it, after a while, when you connect with people that, you know, I want to say almost we feed off each other, quite honestly, it is unhealthy, and it does end up eventually surfacing. You know, in time, that imbalance, that back and forth, that drawing off each other for energy, quite honestly, instead of generating your own personal energy and personal power, in long time, does surface. You know, people do end up feeling it, whether it's on an instinctual or intuitive, or they just get really burned out and it gets unhealthy when you rely on someone. It's always, I say, you know, it's like the life preserver. You know, you got to teach someone to swim, or, you know, you're going to save them. You have to, you know, rescue yourself before you can save someone else. So any thoughts on that?
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, it's interesting because I feel like in codependent relationships, like the one who's the enabler is the one who often feels drained and has that epiphany of that earlier than the other, who
I agree. No.
Will just seek out somebody else to enable them, you know, where because that the enabler feels very drained in the relationship over time because they're always putting the other person's needs ahead of their own, whatever, because they're just like, okay, if that makes them happy, it's fine, because then I'll be happy because they're not complaining, you know, or they'll leave me alone if they get what they want. So I'll just constantly be giving in. And so you put their needs ahead of your own, and eventually that, and it's also, you know, we've talked about energy vampires, and I think that's what that codependent, that person's role in the codependent relationship is like an energy vampire. So the person who's the enabler eventually ends up feeling very drained. And then that's when you can start, when you have that awareness of I'm feeling really drained and I can't do it anymore. You can have two choices. You can leave the relationship, and if you don't move forward with that and start realizing that this is my tendency and I need to fill myself up, my value is not coming from always rescuing somebody else, but my needs are just as important, or you'll fall into another relationship that's also dysfunctional or codependent. So
can I awesome.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no. When you were talking, it made me think about another dimension of it, too. I have to say, in child raising, you know, like the rescuing your child, the word that came through, whether it's an intimate relationship or with your child. And I remember always talking to my mother about that. There sometimes comes to a point how you break the pattern. It is beautiful, but we don't see it that often in society, but it's called tough love. Maybe we can explore tough love too, because I know when you said the enabling, it's breaking the pattern. You know, I guess when I say tough love, what comes to you guys when I say that? What comes to you? Like what sense or what? From a, you know,
I mean,
your
to me, it is. It's just like allowing your child to deal with the consequences of their own behavior and choices. I mean,
good word, consequences.
And it's hard to do it. You know, because you're going to watch them, you know, be in pain because they made a bad choice, and that they have to deal with the consequence of it, and you don't rescue them from it. So you love, you're doing it out of love so that they can grow as a person.
You know, and I even say that it can be an adult relationship too, believe it or not. You know, if you're rescuing your partner, you know, I see people that are, you know, instead of being a partner, they become, you know, their person's counselor, you know, like listening, you know, you can get drawn into that, the drama of life and listening. And you think, you know, let's just say you're tending to someone's emotional needs, not knowing, but like, you know, the person is constantly seeking, that deteriorates the relationship a bit. You know, it's chipping away at the, and we don't realize it. You know, we get drawn into the drama of it. I mean, I've experienced it. You can get sucked in instead of really taking the higher perspective is what is needed right now. What is, I think, Money, you told me, we were talking one time, and the power word was, what is healthy right now? What would be healthy in the bigger picture? You know, to break patterns. That's why I wanted to bring patterns up, because I do think there is, and this is, you know, I'm not an expert, but just from all the clients that I see and when we talk about relationships, there is some type of life lesson, pattern, something to break that I guess, tendency. You know, some people are drawn to it, and very much so, but again, it's continual. If we don't try to gear it towards healthiness. Thoughts, guys?
Yeah, I love the word consequences. Yeah. Many years ago, I was PTA president for my son's school, about 800 members, and we had a speaker come in and ask, you know, okay, your child has a project due. It's Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. This is back when stores were all closed Sunday evening. And they said, now, how many of you in here are out driving around trying to find the supplies that this child needs that they knew for a week, and most of the hands went up, and he said, you're causing a huge problem in society. These children are learning that they don't ever have to face consequences because mommy will bail them out. They'll find a relationship where the spouse or the opposite person will bail them out, and they never learn to accept consequences, so they never think really about what they're doing. And, you know, they say, well, if I mess up, you know, someone's gonna take care of it for me. And that can go all the way on to people going to jail. It's like, I can't go to jail. Mom's gonna, you know, my mom will take care of this. Well, no, mom's not gonna take care of it. And then, you know, that's a huge life event, you know. But it starts out slowly. And he said, You're hurting your children. You have to let them face their own consequences. It was their decision not to do the work. And then they come to you Sunday evening and say, this is due tomorrow, and then you panic and run out, and you're up till midnight usually doing the project for them. And what have they learned? Mm-hmm. Only that you're going to bail them out. No matter what they do, you're going to bail them out, and they don't have to face the consequences. So I love that word, consequences. It is.
It's personal responsibility. Yeah. No, and I mean, I am guilty of it. You know, I've realized that.
We all are.
Yeah, I want to read this. I want to take this from verbatim because it really ties in what you say. And, you know, and I do think a lot of, I don't think, you know, we think of it on that level, like as parents, you know, like we're enabling the patterns, you know, that sometimes you're right, you know, letting them, you know, get the F on the project. It might be painful, but they may learn from that. And in the bigger perspective in life, I mean, I know we get focused kind of on like the success. I mean, that's kind of what everyone focuses on, and having the best grades and getting into this. But in the end, you know, true happiness, you know, teaching these life lessons. But this says right here, which ties in, is that in the codependent relationship, the other dependence on the helper is so profound. You know, the other is bound to the helper because the helper's lengthy aids and impedes their maturity, life skills, or confidence, or enables their addiction or poor mental or physical health, making them dependent on the helper's assistance. So the poor functioning brings them needed love, care, and concern from the helper, further reducing their motivation to change. So what it's, you know, whether we realize it or not, we're feeding that energy, you know, and I don't, you know, I know, like, all of a sudden, like, oh, what have I done? You know, it's not there. It's just the shifting that, and I think the awareness, hopefully, you know, I do believe change and transformation always comes from awareness and opening conversations for people to realize that, you know, there is a stigma to have your kids do this. And sometimes, or, you know, all of us to do these things, you know, there is a norm for dysfunction, really, to be honest.
Yes, there is.
But when you see the higher lesson, you know, and being able to hold through, like, trust me, like a couple of times, I was like, you know, I believe it or not, I was the one like jumping in the car, running to get the poster board, you know.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
It is painful to not do that, you know, and especially like my tendency, and I've realized that I read an article saying that sometimes my energy is naturally to be the emotional caretaker. You know, that is who I am, I know, but I have to be personally responsible of that energy because I'm, you know, how you can, you know, energy can be transmitted and how you are, you know, around you, the relations around you. You know, I am responsible. The other thing, you know, even I, you know, when I'm working and I've read a lot of books on codependency, even like let's just say, you know, to the higher level, it maybe to where codependency gets so dysfunctional, it almost comes on the borderline abusive. Okay, nothing to hide from. But what I found, what was very interesting, is the people that are always giving, always pointing the finger at the one taking. But that really, what it is almost in that dynamics, there is a personal role of the giver to not enable, you know, what is your role in this if you want to change things or if you want to make it healthy? We all have a personal role, and that's, you know, and where we come from it. Thoughts, anyone?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a little bit of distinction, maybe a little bit between, you know, being codependent or enabling a child versus enabling another adult in a, you know, maybe an intimate relationship or even a friendship. Because I agree that, like, you know, going out to get the we've all done that. We've all dropped off, you know, homework that they forgot. But I do feel in that there is, you know, sometimes I think that it's a little bit harsh on a child who doesn't understand that initially. So there's also a learning curve with a child. So I feel like the way that I was with my kids, it's kind of like you wean them off of the enabling. So I'm supporting you. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then I'm showing you that, like, okay, I'm going to do it. But then the next time this happens, I will say, okay, it's Friday. I will help you with your poster, or I'll help. And I say this, my son's a junior in high school, and I'll say, if you want me to read your English, you know, research paper, don't give it to me the night before it's due at 8 o'clock, because I won't read it then. And I'm too shot and I can't do it. Good. So if you have to give it to me earlier. And this just happened, and he gave it to me the night before, and I said, I can't read this now. And my daughter, luckily for him, my daughter was home. And she's like, doesn't get tired at 8 o'clock because she's, you know, whatever. She's only 19 and she stays up until 2 a.m. So she proofread it for him. But I said, I just can't. And he's a junior. And I've told, you know, I gave him ample warning 2 weeks before that you're not going to do it. So, you know, in sixth grade, it would have been a different story. So I think there's some learning, you know, teaching them that you're not going to be there, but like not just leaving them to their own, I don't know. I feel like that's
hard.
Not
drop them on their head, but let them know.
I can't be, there are some parents that are that harsh. Like, I went to school a million times in sixth grade. He kept forgetting things at school, but I kind of thought, like, you're only in sixth grade. Like, you're still getting used to taking stuff home from your locker. And the first 2 weeks I was going to school all the time, but after that he figured it out. I never went to school. You know what I mean? So I think there comes a time where you're like, are you being lazy or are you just being a kid? Because you're going to be forgetful because you're distracted. You know what I mean? So that's a little bit different with a kid. I think, I don't know, some parents might have a different philosophy. I just wasn't that harsh. And my kids did figure it out. Like, they weren't, I'm still not enabling them now. You know, it's just sort of like weaning. I said, I'm weaning you off of the enabling.
Yeah.
Well, I think what's really important here. Yeah. I think it's just natural to be like codependent as a child. You have to for survival.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it
right.
just is.
Exactly.
And that's where I think I work with people. Like, when you find your sense of self, when you, a lot of people go through midlife crisis, or when you start noticing, you know, discord, like a codependent relationship could be fine until I see a lot of, it gets to a certain point though sometimes. Sometimes we do that out of survival. I even said, like, you know, when you have children, sometimes a mutually partnership tends to be, all of a sudden, there is some codependence. Like, you know, I'm doing this, you have to do that, and it may begin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it may start there.
Mm-hmm.
What the key is that even with like your child and the codependency is that after a while, you know, it is really important that a person regains control of their own thoughts and their own priorities and being personally responsible for themselves. That is huge. You know, self-care, that's why I tout self-care all the time, because, you know, when the going gets bad, if we look for a partner all the time, you're drawing off that partner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is self-care. You know, teaching your child that, you know, having that back awareness, like, trust me, there's a point where, you know, a kid, they do need support. You know, we are their parents. We love them. You know, we do. But where we got to look is, you know, am I taking over their responsibilities? You know, am I, you know,
exactly.
Are they learning that?
But
that's
age appropriate. I think you have to do it age appropriately for kids.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to know when they're 10 what the consequences mean. They don't have the capacity to understand that. So there's conversation. You know, there's teaching. So that, you know, that's part of it for a kid, which as for an adult, you know, I don't know, at least now that I've stepped away from that role in my life, I don't want to go back to it. Like, I don't want to be teaching an adult how to be independent.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to
Well, that's the thing.
Project.
You don't want to train them to be, we don't want them to train to be looking for.
Exactly.
You know, and even like with, I said, relationships, you know, ask the questions. And this is huge. Like, you know, it's a fine line, you know, if you're helping, you know, like I said, we all need support and help at times. It gets to the point, though, you know, if inwardly, if are you feeling, you know, what are you feeling when you're doing it? Are you really getting drained? Okay, you know, is it tapping in? Mm-hmm. Ask the question, is this person doing what they can? If they're not and I'm not helping them do that, then I'm enabling something unhealthy. You know, sometimes we listen, but sometimes, hey, you know, you need to go take a walk and then come back and see, you know, see if your mind's clear, if they're emotionally distraught. I hear a lot of that, like, big people, you know, life is demanding. We have stress. You know, we kind of come home and dump it on each other, you know.
Yeah.
Or,
well, that's the key,
you know,
though. That's the key, dumping it on each other. In a codependent relationship, it's one person dumping on the other, but they don't have the capacity to listen when the other person needs that. And that's
right.
That's the problem.
Yep. So the dynamic is
not a
two-way
street. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in a partnership, and if I can send a visual, okay, a partnership, eventually you'd love to teach your child this, but let's use two adults. It is the dance floor. You know, you come out onto the dance floor and you dance together. If I'm the partner dragging you around the dance floor, how much fun is that dance after a while? You know, can you support it? Can you keep up? Can you listen to the music together? You know, ideally when we're working with our child, you may have to put them on your back or teach them how to dance, and you may, you know, do different kind of dances, but ideally in the end, you'd want them to try to dance for themselves. That's where I think it gets skewed. Sometimes we just, you know, I'm in love and I just enmesh. and we give up part of who we are for someone else, and that actually, it turns out in the long run, becomes very unhealthy, you know, and it surfaces in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So
So just, I think what you said, trust your feelings when you're feeling drained, and then establish boundaries is
boundaries
key
are
to
huge.
Getting out of that. Yeah.
And on a coaching level, anyone out there, I think I'm pretty passionate about the boundaries. For me, that was just, I never heard of boundaries. I read a book, Drawing the Line. It's called Drawing the Line, How to Set Healthy Boundaries. I think it was like a Catherine. Oh, if anyone is listening and interested, email me. But that book kind of was like a ding. It just taught me that there is health. Healthiness, believe it or not, is sometimes saying no. It is sometimes that tough love. You know, as the emotional caretaker, if anyone's out there, that's the people pleaser or trained to be self-serving, that by saying no and setting boundaries, you are not only, you know, creating a healthier you, you're teaching other people how to treat you. And actually, it's a good for all. You're teaching people to be healthy individuals. The boundary, if giving too much, those are some red flags, you know, and by defining your self-worth sometimes and working from that me place helps you sometimes navigate and understanding if your relations are unhealthy, where there's areas for improvement and how to, you know, make it more enriching. Mm-hmm. Any final thoughts, guys?
Yeah.
What I like on boundaries, there's a, in one of the articles, there's just a quick create a positive space, and this person is talking when they began to realize the difference between owning others' problems and giving that person support. Started creating my own positive space, and this has a lot to do with boundaries, and I love what they say, where someone else ends and you begin. And that's what boundaries are, where they're, you know, where you become you and they stay who they are. And that's the importance of boundaries, to keep that from just turning into a total codependent relationship, which is so easy. You know, I've been there more than once. Didn't learn the first time, but I'm learning. Boundaries are so important to identifying and breaking codependence.
I believe it. Yeah. Thank you, August. Any final thoughts, Bonnie? We got to wrap up the show.
No, I think that's good. I think we're out of time. So.
Okay. Well, thank you to all our listeners. I want to welcome you. If you have any questions, anything resonates, or if you want to explore more on this topic, we are all available for you. You can reach all of us through wnylifecoaching.com or directly call at 716-560-6552. Thank you all. We will see and talk to everyone on our next episode. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.